He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning show, the Best Stocks Now show, or is it the Best Inverse Funds Now show? Well, we'll see here in a moment. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I've got Barry Kite here, our in-house chartered financial analyst. He'll be chiming in here in a bit. We're off to a down start in the market. Gee, maybe just go back to bed. Let's see, the Dow's down 84. That's 0.3%. We're at 30,738. I'd have to say that that 30,000 level is probably a pretty important level to hold here. We'll see if it can. The NASDAQ's down 26. That's about 0.25%. That puts the NASDAQ at 11,420. S&P down 12, 3,860. Russell 2000 down a couple of points. Crude oil continues to act like it thinks there's a recession out there. Maybe FedEx, the comments from FedEx last week, they predicted a global recession. They're a little bit of an outlier, but at the same time, they've got a pretty good pulse on the global economy, flying goods all over the world. Crude is down 95 cents this morning, $84.16. Gold going nowhere, $16.75, down $8 per ounce. Silver's up 6 cents. Silver's had a little bit of a run here recently. The euro below parity, 99.9983. The 10-year hits 3.50 today as Bitcoin hits 19,067. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And Barry, I hear that there's a little meeting this week taking place.
And we'll hear, yeah,
we'll hear the results of that meeting sometime on Wednesday, I think it is. What's that meeting all about?
Yeah, so we're of course on Fed watch this week. I think the market's on Fed watch, and you've got, of course, I believe the 10-year U.S. Treasury hit over 3.5% this morning. It's just a tick under that at the moment, but that's the highest rate since April of 2011. And so we're planning on a hike. I think we're still in the 75 basis point camp. And I think that kind of ties in line to FedEx. You know, I think the issue there wasn't really that they were doing business poorly. It was the fact that it was softness in volumes, and so that softness in volume is really what really led to their earnings, pulling their 2023 earnings estimates off the table at the moment.
Okay, I did some reading over the weekend on Paul Volcker, who reined in inflation, wicked inflation, back in the late 70s and early 80s. And I read that he went after the money supply as opposed to interest rates, reining in the money supply. That was always my feeling, is that too much money sloshing around out there is really what causes inflation. What do you have to say to that?
Yeah, and it's velocity of money too. So in terms of if you think about how banks work, right? You've got one of the big deals is reserve requirements. So banks are required to hold a certain amount of their deposits in reserves. If you increase that reserve amount, well, that means they can't lend as much money out. And so, over the years, if you increase that velocity of money, meaning, one of those tools being reducing reserve requirements, well, then, that those dollars get compounded and get moved around, right, the economy faster, which, yes, is also inflationary. So not only increasing M1 or the money supply, but also increasing, you know, how much it moves around the economy in terms of, you know, think of it, lubrication, right? The more lubrication it has, well, that also could be inflationary. And I'd probably argue that we've, you know, in terms of, you know, the reserve requirements have stayed relatively stable, but, you know, there's all kinds of different types of financing now to where, you know, the velocity of money is likely higher, maybe even than they measure.
So. Yes, that would be my thought too. Well, anyways, that's a thought about, and I do believe strongly that the money supply has a lot to do with inflation. Well, we didn't have a very good week last week. We had that CPI report that came in just too hot, and we had that 1,300 point drop in the Dow last week. The market was really never able to recover from that. Interest rates have now moved clear up to 3.50. We haven't seen that in a long time. The mortgage rate is now over 6%, and that's pretty much quieted down the real estate market quite a bit. The two-year treasury right now is closing in on 3.90%. That's a pretty hot item from what I understand right now, those two-year treasuries. That's a pretty, well, it's 3.96. Oh, my goodness, 3.96 on the two-year. We're going to have a 4% two-year treasury here pretty soon. And you know, what is that telling us when a two-year is at all, it's 3.96 this morning. What's that telling us?
Well, and it's telling us that they think, you know, whether it's a recession or the fact that, you know, thinking that interest rates are going to be lower, right, the farther we go out into the future, which means, you know, likely meaning they're cutting over time, which means, you know, they're usually obviously going to be cutting into economic softness. So that's why, you know, over the years that, you know, pretty much, you know, every recession's been, you've seen at least some firm form of an inverted yield curve, you know, either during or prior to. Doesn't always mean that it'll lead to a recession, but recessions usually have one. So it's something to watch. And that spread stayed, you know, in that 30 to 40 basis point range for a while now.
Long time.
I mean, it seems like you and I, going back a while, have been, you know, have had an inverted yield curve. I know we pointed it out right when it happened, and it seems like it's lasted a while now.
And it's widened, and it has stayed at that, 50 basis points? 46 basis points today, the difference between the two-year and the 10-year. Well, FedEx.
Yeah, risk assets. You know, risk assets are showing that too. I mean, you look at, you know, I was looking at a chart of Bitcoin this morning. I think it dropped all the way to back up 19,000. It was around 18,300 something this morning. Yeah, which is, I mean, that just shows you that's, you know, the appetite for risk is certainly waning.
Yeah, you got ARK funds down another 2% today. She's down 53%. Year to date, the Nasdaq's down about 27% now year to date, and I made a big point of it in the newsletter once again that the higher the risk level or the higher the PE ratio or no PE ratio, the longer the duration, the EV stocks that haven't produced a car yet and others like that, the more those stocks are just getting pounded. And that pounding continues, and of course we're going to get more rate hike, 75 basis points. There's a 20% chance of 100 basis points, and then FedEx kind of threw some fuel on the fire on Thursday. The recession fear, when they actually came out and said, now they have a new CEO. You know, they had, wasn't it Fred Smith that was the CEO forever of FedEx? And now it's a new head running the company. And he's predicting a recession, a global recession. So that did not help the market. The S&P was down 5% last week. And you look at the the lagging sectors, you know, materials was the worst performing sector, down 6.7%. And that means the market itself, not just, you know, the FedEx CEO, but the market itself is now kind of predicting a recession. The second worst performing sector last week, real estate, down 6.5%, which should come as no surprise. And then the industrials down, the only one that was down, healthcare was number one, down 2.38%. Energy was down 2.6%. So, yeah, the higher the risk asset and the more tied to the economy, the worse it did. We're on recession watch, probably already in one from my point of view. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Dow down 43 right now. Well, it was down almost 300 this morning before the market opened in the futures, so it could have been worse, I suppose. Year to date, the Dow 30. We began the year at 36,338. Oh, to go back to that point in time, because now we're at 30,785. We've lost almost 6,000 points since the beginning of the year. The Dow is down 14.8%. But the Dow has fared the best of all the indexes, and there's a reason for that. The Dow has the lowest P.E. ratio of all the indexes. You know, you've got a lot of very low P.E. ratios in the Dow, the AT&Ts of the world. Therefore, the Dow is down a lot less than the other indexes. And that's also a result of multiple contraction. We've had a big contraction in the multiple of the market this year. That's caused by rising interest rates. The multiple could also be described as the P.E. ratio or the forward P.E. ratio. We started the year at 23 times earnings. We hit 17.2. I think we're under 17 right now. I don't think that counted Friday's results. After Friday, we're down under 17. We're in the 16s. High 16 area when we started the year at 23. So when you multiply S&P 500 earnings by 23 and then say, no, you got to multiply them by 17 instead, that's quite a big hit. And that's where the most damage has been done, has been in the multiple, which has an inverse correlation to interest rates. Interest rates go up, the multiple comes down. And the higher the multiple, for instance, the NASDAQ has a much higher multiple than the Dow. The NASDAQ is down 26.2%. That's as of last Thursday, 26.2%. You go further out on that range of multiples to the innovation stocks, the NASDAQ down 26, the innovation area of the market is down double that, down 52%. Now, you could say, does that make for some nice values in that, you know, should we be all over some of these long-duration, high P.E. stocks or no P.E. stocks? I would say the answer to that is, if you think interest rates aren't going any higher, then be my guest. But I would continue to avoid that area of the market like the plague. In fact, I would much prefer to own SARC, which is inverse ARC, than owning ARC itself. I think ARC is still vulnerable to more multiple contraction. The S&P 500 is down 18.2% year to date. The small caps, the S&P 600 down 17.8%. Small caps by nature also have lower PE ratios than the NASDAQ stocks, the big NASDAQ giants of the NASDAQ. The total world market down 19.6%. The emerging markets down 18.8%. You know, one of the worst performing markets this year, and it should come as no surprise, is Europe. Europe's down 25.3%. And Europe continues to struggle. They've got a tremendous energy crisis that still does not have a solution. China's down 22% year to date. Russia stopped trading a long time ago. It was down 79% when all trading. Every day when we log on to Ameritrade, we get a notice about trading Russian stocks.
Yeah, you'd think we'd have it. We'd know it by now, but that yes. Warning comes up every day. I have to X out of it.
I know. Every day I got it takes up half my screen. Okay, now Bitcoin. Get this. Where do you think Bitcoin began the year? Okay, let's go back.
That's a tricky one because I don't have the chart right in front of me at the
48,000.
I was gonna say. I mean, that 66,000 number. What hit? You know, towards the beginning of the end of the third or beginning of the fourth quarter of 2021. So it's been a downhill ride from there. I wouldn't.
Yep. 48,000, it started the year, and now it's hovering around 19,000. Bitcoin's down about 60%. And you would
I think your biggest point is the fact that, you know, there's really not a lot of places to hide. I saw where a 60-40, you know, equity to bond portfolio this year is down 20%.
Exactly. That's an asset allocation. Because you have a year where not only are stocks down, but bonds are down. And that's not supposed to happen according to the asset allocation theory, which says, well, when stocks go down, bonds go up. And when bonds go down, stocks go up. Well, you know what? This year they're both getting hit. The bond market, the IEF 10-year Treasury ETF is down 13.3%. And the high yield bond index is down 15%. So, that doesn't surprise me that a 60-40 asset allocation down 20%. And Bitcoin, I think, points to the fact that the higher the risk in a rising interest rate environment, the more the damage. And you got Bitcoin down 60% since the beginning of the year. Oil is up 13.5 for the year. That's one of the few things that is green on the year. It was up a lot higher. It was up around 120 at one point. And the dollar, which is part of the problem, the dollar's up 15%. You know, I would say that's another difference about what we're seeing this time around with inflation and last time. Under Volcker, there was crisis in the dollar. The world and, you know, investors had lost faith in the U.S. dollar, and the U.S. dollar was crumbling. And that was a big unknown factor, whether the dollar would be able to survive. But what he did, reining in the money supply and hiking rates, saved the dollar. This time you have just the opposite. You have a strong dollar. In a inflationary environment. Well, why would that be? I want to hear my CFA here explain why we had a weak dollar and no confidence in the dollar in 82, and now we have too much confidence in the dollar. Is it safe haven? Well, think about that, Barry, during the break. And when we come back, I want to hear your thoughts on that. And then we'll get into some news that's happening in a lot of individual stocks today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow is up 32 points as this is Fed meeting week. The market expecting a 75, which is aggressive, 75 basis point hike. Okay, had you had that little time to think about that? We have a very strong dollar here this year. We had a very weak dollar the last time we had a big bout of inflation. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the two biggest reasons, number one is because, you know, the U.S. came out from an economic activity standpoint, came out of COVID, right, faster than the rest of the world and came out, you know, pretty hot, ahead of the rest of the world. And so that being said, you know, interest rate differential is always a big, a big determinant of currency prices versus, you know, other baskets of currencies. And with the U.S., you know, being one of the early countries to begin being in a rising interest rate regime, right? To take, you know, easy example is, you know, us against the euro. We're now the euro is basically at parity, a bit under a dollar. For a euro, and that's because the fact that they've had, you know, just now, right, began, I mean, they had negative interest rates for a while. They just now began raising, you know, within the last couple of weeks versus the U.S., you know, U.S., we've been, you know, raising rates since the beginning of the year and raising them, pretty aggressively, and about to add another 75 basis points to the Fed funds rate. So that's really, the big difference when you look at, you know, where we are, where other countries like Japan, I mean, we've got, you know, what, the yen up against the dollar at, you know, almost record numbers. And that's, same difference there. They're still in a, you know, basically a negative or zero rate interest rate environment. And we're, you know, where Fed funds are sitting, what, right around, I think you mentioned, it's right around 3.5 or so at the moment.
Yeah, 3.5
or getting close. Yep.
Oh, the Fed fund rates is 2.75, so we'll hit 3.5 this week.
Yeah, 3.5 when we add the 0.75, right?
Yes. Yep.
So that's a big difference, because which you can borrow in yen at 0%, right? Turn around and hedge out the currency risk by the U.S. dollar, which is lend out dollars, which are paying, you know, 3.5%, and so you're making that differential. So that's the old carry trade when you're looking at the yen. So the biggest difference is just, you know, really just interest rate. There's a lot of other factors, but that's usually a very big one, is interest rate differential.
Well, it remains to be seen whether or not the Fed alone by themselves can get inflation under control. Very interesting to watch this. El Salvador, the first to make Bitcoin legal tender. That was a bad decision. They get a debt rating cut again at Fitch. Yeah, they put a bunch of their money in their government money into Bitcoin. Not a good idea. I know what some cities did it. Miami did it too for a while. I don't know if they're still doing it. And then, of course, you had some companies like MicroStrategy and Tesla for a while. He's not doing it anymore. We're holding their cash reserves in Bitcoin, and that has not turned out well. Netflix rises as Oppenheimer upgrades. You know what? The FANG stocks, I have never seen such a fall from grace, man. Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook. Look at that chart on Facebook. It's just horrible. It's gone from 384 all the way down to 147. That's a 60% drop. That's a big hit to old Zuckerberg's wallet, poor guy. Netflix,
and they're laying employees off at Meta.
Exactly. Netflix has gone from 700 to 240. Okay, I witnessed the bashing of the NASDAQ, the dot-com bubble, where the NASDAQ itself went down 79%. And then a lot of others, did worse than that, obviously, a lot of the dot-com stocks. But here you've got all these big FANG stocks. They're down anywhere from 50 to 70%. So, I mean, this has been a pretty big bear market in the large cap tech stocks. Google was clear up at, let's see, where did Google get to? Google got as high as 151. Of course, it split along the way. Now it's 100. So that's a 33% drop in Google. So, you know, and it was remember when it was all mega cap? So all you had to do was buy a mega cap ETF, and because it included all these big, remember we were talking about, oh, now it's a $2 trillion company. Now it's a $3 trillion company.
Yeah, went from, you know, companies going from, you know, $1 trillion to $2 trillion in, you know, a matter of months at the time.
Yeah, then what's a trillion? I mean, shoot. Okay, Microsoft was up around $350. Now it's $250. So there's another 35% haircut. And we're going back, really. These highs were hit back in 2020 when interest rates were, the Fed fund rate was 0 to 0.25%. It was zero. The Fed fund rate was there, and you had all that money sloshing around and people with nothing but time on their hands because they were locked up, couldn't go outside, couldn't spend their money, and all of this stuff was being bought up, and now, you know, we've seen this massive sell-off in especially the higher the risk, the higher the PE, you know, the more it has, more they have sold off. Okay, we've got a little worry about Amazon. We should also look at Amazon because Amazon is in a little bit of the same business. FedEx just says, hey, we're not shipping as much as we used to. So there's, you know, some thought that, well, Amazon got hammered hard on Friday. If FedEx isn't shipping as much, I wonder if Amazon's shipping and sales have gone down. Amazon was 188. Now it's 124. There's another one. 30. It's lost a third of its value here recently. But we'll have to see whether or not Amazon. A new player in the charging business. That was one of the areas of the market that was up last week because there was a bill that was passed giving almost $1 trillion. No. It was 900 billion. I think 900 billion was it that high? It was a big number going out to the charging companies. They got to build out the infrastructure. CRGE gains today on being selected by City Parking. That's the big parking company in New York City. They got a big contract to put in electrical vehicle charging infrastructure build-outs throughout the New York City area. That's a big contract. Let's just look. This is a fairly recent IPO, and I do keep an eye on these charging companies. CRGE, new player. It's up 2.1% today. Blink and ChargePoint seem to be the two biggest players out there right now in that space. Broadwind surges 5%. That's a wind stock. BWEN, renewable energy. That's a good chart. I would say right now, if you were to look at the strongest sector in the market, it continues to be, Barry, the renewable energy stocks. In fact, I have one A-plus stock in my entire database of 6,060 in the app. It's Enphase, which we still own. Enphase hit a new high last week, and it is down a little bit here today. Enphase is the tech stock to the solar industry. Adobe's another one. It's been crushed. Yeah, go ahead on Enphase. Did we write up Enphase? We wrote it up, right?
I think we did a while back. I mean, with a handful of other solar names. But the trick there is, you know, it's very interesting when Enphase, as you said, done well. And you talk about, you know, having some tailwinds from government investment. You know, the PE ratio, right, is certainly,
high.
You know, it's certainly rich and relatively high. So it's just unique that in an environment where, you know, PE stocks, you know, high PE stocks have been, you know, certainly, you know, hammered, challenged, whatever word you want to use, end phase, right, is kind of going against the grain, and that's because of the industry that it's in. But.
Yes, and it, they seem to be the company with the best inverters by far. I even heard that. I've heard that from people in the industry, much better than SolarEdge inverters. Okay, there are some stocks jumping here today, which we'll talk about when we come back. It's the best stocks now or best inverse funds now. Dow's up 111 right now.
You gotta go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The good news is everything's gone positive since we started the show. You know, the futures were way down this morning. The Dow was down almost 300 points. NASDAQ was down about 100. Now we've got everything in the green. So, hey, we'll take whatever we can get these days in the market. Okay, here's what's standing out to me here today. You know, the lithium stocks continue to do well. There's some pretty heady goals out there for electric vehicles by 2030, 50% of all cars on the road, they want to be electric vehicles. That's the Biden administration. And so the lithium stocks continue to have quite a bit of lift to them. SGML, which is Sigma Lithium, which is out of Canada. That's a strong stock. You know, there's not a lot of strong stocks in the market right now, Barry. 90%. I only have in my database of over 6,000 stocks, I only have like 200 that are B plus or better. That means like, you know, 97% of the stocks are just not doing well at all right now. The breadth of the market is just horrible.
Yeah, and compare that to, you know, coming out in 2020, coming out of COVID, compared to, you know, 2019, right, pre-COVID, where, you know, there was a much more target-rich environment. And you know, I guess when are we going to start referring to Celsius or CELH as an energy stock, since it's energy
yes.
drinks. It's up 4% today.
Yeah, that's Celsius. That is a crazy stock, man. It that, you know what? We'll put that in our list of energy stocks because
right.
people need energy too. And a Celsius,
human energy.
Yeah, Celsius, which had a big investment from Pepsi. I mean, we chose that stock and put some money into it because of its ranking in the Best Stocks Now app. We continue to own it. We've got a decent profit in it so far, and it's up 4% today. The relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 is 98. So there's two energy stocks so far. Sigma Lithium, SGML, which gets the lithium for your car. It's out of Vancouver, and it is a small cap stock at $2.7 billion in market cap. And Celsius, CELH, is $7.8 billion now. In market cap. Celsius is headquartered in Boca Raton, Florida. That's the home of Celsius. Okay, then I see some of these shipping stocks. You still have the big shortage of natural gas. Here's probably one of the strongest stocks in the market right now. One of the best charts for sure. International Seaways. INSW, they provide transportation services of crude oil and petroleum products with a fleet of 36 vessels. That's a $1.7 billion company, very small cap, almost a micro cap, but huge sales growth. And look at the chart, relative strength of 99. That's as strong as it gets, and the stock hitting a new all-time high today.
That's a good-looking chart.
Boy, I'll say, you're not going to find you turn that chart upside down, and that's what most of the other stocks in the market look like right now. They're breaking support. This thing, instead, is breaking out. It's up 5% today on five times normal volume, INSW. And then, let's see, the last one I'll do would be another energy, solar stock. This one actually came down to its 50-day moving average, is bouncing off of it. Array Technologies, which designs and manufactures ground mounting system used in solar energy projects. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of construction taking place, and a lot of framing and ways to hold and position those solar panels. It's out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. We caught this one a while ago. They have some fast-growing earnings. They have some fast-growing sales. Their most recent quarter, sales up 116%. Earnings up 350%. The symbol is ARRY, and it's a $2.7 billion market cap company. So look at that. Everything we did had something to do with energy, which continues to be one of our big themes here in 2022. We also continue to be very cautious, as I wrote in the newsletter over the weekend, 40% cash. Quite a few inverse ETFs right now. The market remains very, very nervous. High anxiety would be the way to describe it best. And there's going to be a lot of high anxiety until we finally, you know, the Fed is going to do what we, it's all pretty much known what the Fed is going to do. But even with it known, there's still nervousness by what he says, you know, after after they take action, after they hike interest rates, and we'll see. So, you know, strap on your seatbelt, get ready for another volatile week in the market. The earnings picture really hasn't changed much, maybe just a little bit to the downside. We're looking for record earnings this year, record earnings next year, but not the kind of growth we saw, you know, a few years ago, and not the kind of multiple that we saw. No, nowhere even close to the multiple that we saw a couple years ago. So that's having a dramatic impact on the S&P 500 target price. Okay, well, we got a lot of work to do here today. Going to go through the database of 6,000, see if we can find anything, check everything that we own. If you'd like to look at the newsletter, I write it every single weekend. You get two free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us, if you're in a 60-40 asset allocation, that's not a good place to be. You can call us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.